No preparatory statement for you, if you will, for what we are going to hear this evening. But I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. We're going to read verses 21 through 31. And once you get to the fifth chapter of the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to ask you to stand as we would honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. And we'll get started with this message this evening. A little bit of a wake-up call maybe it is tonight. I don't know. I know we're on the backside, of Easter and the resurrection celebration, and going over the different days as to what happened during this Passion Week, if you will. And it's easy when it's easy to go through those days, to go through those weeks and those sermons and those verses and those topics and events. It's easy to go through those things and get on the backside and then just take off and start running and kind of get away from where you were. It's easy to do that. And I'm not saying that you've forgotten the gospel, the resurrection, or any less honorable to the events. I'm not saying that. But there is a reality in our world today that I believe that we need to face. And I believe in my heart it coincides greatly to where Jeremiah is preaching to Judah and to the house of Jacob, as we find in this fifth chapter of his book here. The Bible says in verse 21, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people have a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned you away from these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay in wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged for such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" Father in heaven, I ask you tonight to bless your message. I ask you, Father, to touch the time we have together, one with another. And I pray, dear God, that be it a shot across the bow, be it a warning, dear Lord, be it a wake-up call this evening. I pray that you give us full understanding and certainty this tonight, Lord God, of where we are in the world, what the great need is for the people of this life, dear God, of this era, of this age. Help us, dear God, be a light that's reflected of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our land. Help us lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to people that we come in contact with every single day. Help us tonight, Lord God, stand against the wickedness of this world. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. I appreciate you standing there for a long time. Pretty powerful verses, if you would say so yourself, to be honest with you, Jeremiah 5, 21 through 31, kind of a in my heart, in my mind. You begin to read that, and we begin to read to see how as a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit, and how people have become great, and how they've waxen rich, and how they're fat, and they shine. They don't help the fatherless. They don't seek out the widows. They're not doing anything to benefit those in their life. They haven't judged righteously, and yet they benefit and they prosper in this world today. And we see this every single day of our life. Beloved, the Apostle Paul says this. He said this to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 10:1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under a cloud and all passed through the sea." So Paul is saying, I don't want you, okay, he's speaking to Christian believers now, I don't want you to be ignorant. And the sin in chapter 5 was not so much of that of ignorance. Now, I understand that it said, we'll read a verse here in a moment ago that says that they have ears and they hear not, and eyes and they see not, and they're without understanding. There is a difference of being truly ignorant and just being obstinate. The sin of Jeremiah chapter 5 is not ignorance. Ignorance is not necessarily a sin unless it's willful ignorance. But rather, this is pure obstinance, which is pigheadedness, stubbornness, fixated. It's the opposite, if you will, of being compliant. And that's where the house of Judah was. That's where the house of Jacob was in this time when Jeremiah is pleading and preaching about God's judgment that's going to be upon them. And beloved, I believe in our world today, we are no different. I believe our society has become obstinate to the truth. I know I've said for years that our people are our village, especially here, there seems to be a blanket, a plague of indifference to where they just don't care. Apathy, if you will. But I'm to the point, as we continue to witness and work and get amongst the people, that there's more of an obstinance there than there is just indifference. Just stubbornness, and I'm going to do it my way no matter what. And I'm going to lay the charge at the church's feet. I know we'll get to it here later on this evening. I'm going to try not to go very long tonight. But when we read in the last verse, it says, "The prophets that prophesied falsely, the priests bear rule by their means." And the people love it. Guys, people are, if they attend any type of church today, the majority of them and are attending church out of tradition. They're doing it out of obligation. They're doing it to tick the box. And they feel they've done their little good deed for the week. And they can continue on living their riotous life and their vile life and not give God a second thought or a second idea throughout the entire week, except for the 30 minutes they spent in a dead cold room where a priest is prophesying and preaching falsely. Amen. And it's produced what we see in our world today as pure perversion in the pulpits. Pure perversion in the pews. And here's where we are today, guys. This is the reality of our world. Caroline Camp, who is a second year Master's of Divinity student at Duke Divinity School, which is connected to the United Methodist, by the way, and opened up what I would call a so-called church service or a campus chapel service with this statement: "Strange one, fabulous one, fluid and ever becoming one." She claimed that God is mother, father, and parent, and drag queen, and trans man, and gender fluid. This is allowed on a pretty high-esteemed, well-esteemed university where they're teaching people to get a Master's of Divinity, okay? There's a self-identified trans woman, C.J. Serbal. Now, I don't know, trans woman, trans man, I don't know which one's which. And frankly, I don't care. I could care less. But this person, which I'm thinking is a dude, as a first year of Master's of Divinity student, defended gender transition as biblical. Serbal said that, or actually insisted that, "I would like to suggest this trans text," which was Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31, which, as you know, is the record of Jacob wrestling with God, a man. You know, where his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. "And for the life of me, I could not see where in the world this pervert was coming up with the idea that that's a trans verse. I have no idea. But Serbal compares Jacob's struggle to the experience of taking testosterone to transition from a female to a male identity. Sherbaugh wonders how Jacob felt after what he called the angel had gone, and if he felt the same way he or she did, whatever it is, on the clear October morning when I learned to give myself a hormone shot. All I can say is, wow, guys, that's all I can ask. That's the perfect look. That's the look I have when I was like, I had sunny side up eggs for eyes. I'm like, is this real? And it's real. Guys, and get this. This is what I did. I said, you know what? Obviously, they're not King James Bible believers. We understand that. But so I decided to look at every single one of the perversions, the modern versions, to see if they changed the gender to person. And no. Everyone said wrestled with a man, 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 with a man. And I'm thinking, okay, so it's not that. That's not the idea. It was literally having a name change of where this individual was likening their transition from what God made them to be into what they want to be. Do you understand? But this is how far our society has come, guys. I mean, I'm going to throw this out there, and it's easy to pick on these people, but I'm going to throw it out there. What do you expect when parents forsake the house of God? Okay? We're in a church building here that seats 1,000 people, and I could hit every one of you with 3 rocks. Well, maybe 8 rocks, but I'm a pretty good shot. I could bounce a couple of you off of them. Guys, we're in here. What do you expect when parents forsake the house of God? They have zero commitment to church today. They play sporting events in front of being in church, amen. Anything and everything can come in between the end of work and the church time, and a person will skip out of the house of God. A runny nose, this and that, whatever it may be. What do you expect today that you're going to produce in a generation when you put anything and everything before them? They'll give ear to the doctrine of the devil, and that's what they've done. They've given ear to translations that butcher the word of God, because mom and daddy didn't have enough backbone to put them in a car and take them to church. I mean, guys, you know, you don't need a clearer text. Again, my personal opinion, and I don't like to give my opinion. This is not about confusion. This individual was either possessed of a devil or they got a mental disorder, hands down. One of the two. She later on, this she, I'm going to call her, that's what she is, I figured it out, she's a she, referred to this person that Jacob was wrestling with as a stranger. You know what? I guarantee you who Jacob was wrestling with is a stranger to her. He wrestled with God, amen. The angel of the Lord is who he wrestled with that night up until daybreak. Now, guys, listen, we've heard all this perversion coming out. We've seen the pushing and the drive of the individuals who are attracted to young people. Those are called pedophiles, okay? And God says it's better for them to have a millstone wrapped around their neck and chucked in the deepest of the sea. I'll make that clear. I'll say it on the recording. I don't care. If you're a pedophile, amen, you need to be thrown into a deep sea. That's the way it is. You say, what about forgiveness, preacher? What about a reprobate mind? Romans chapter 1, it begins up to a reprobate mind, amen? You cross that deadline of salvation when you harm children, when you sexually abuse them, point blank. And if you allow it to happen, you're just as guilty, amen? Line up at the door. I'll take every single one of you on if you want to challenge that. But the downward spiral, this is not new. That's what I want to say. I know we see it on the news now, and they've waited, you know, they've come out of the door, they've done whatever they've done. But Catholic University, guys, they were displaying paintings of George Floyd as Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, I hate what happened to George Floyd. I can't stand it. It was wrong, whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you, he ain't Jesus Christ, amen. New York Governor Kathy Hochul proclaimed on September 21 that unvaccinated people are not listening to God and doing what God wants. The Presbyterian Church USA last October published a new hymn entitled, "The Climate is Changing." All right? So forget my anchor holds and batten down the hatches, right? The climate is changing. September 2019, climate idolaters of Union Theological Seminary begin worshiping potted plants with a literary response to our climate crisis. This is not just woke America, guys. It's been right here in our country for years. Do you know between the 1940s and 2018, more than 390 clergymen and people in position with the Church of England sexually abused children and were allowed to get away with it? The church forgave them and allowed them to continue to work within the organization instead of protecting the youth. Now you tell me where the righteous biblical stance is from there. I've told people, I've been preaching for 25 years. The majority of that time has been as a pastor. What you tell me behind closed doors when I counsel with you is locked in this vault right here. And I will never, never repeat it unless it's two things. Okay? If you have murdered someone or are going to murder someone, we got a problem. But if you've molested a child, you're going to jail. You come to me and you say, preacher, this is what I've done. You're going to jail. That's just the way it is. If you want to get it off your chest, that's fine. But I'm telling you right now, I legally can't, but I'm going to tell you biblically I can't. I'm going to protect children with my life, especially my own, amen? But any child and any man who will not protect a child is not a man, amen? When our society creates a God, a designated or designed, if you will, according to their own proclivities, perversion of the baser sort is only going to be the result. When you begin to create who you think and who you want God to be. Listen, the Bible says, for God is love. Amen. He is love. Praise God. But being God is love doesn't mean you turn Him into a rainbow unicorn. Amen. God is just. God is jealous. God is a righteous judge. Amen. He's all of those things at the same time. Why? Because He's God, man. The fact of the matter is, all of this began with people knowing, listen carefully to this, because we look at the state of our valleys, we look at the state of our Christianity and our land and our own community and our own country, our own village, we look at it and we go, my soul, man, it's so terrible here. We can't do anything. Guys, this started years ago, amen. When people understood and knew the truth, amen. When the light was still here. When the light was being preached from this pulpit here. When people knew the truth and they forsake it. They forsook it anyway. I'm going to say this, make this clear. I don't think the Church of England's ever been right. I don't care if King James wasn't Anglican or not. Could care less. All right? God used Nebuchadnezzar, called him his servant. Amen? I don't think they've ever been right. Just because they, you know, allow their little priest to marry as a result of Henry VIII wanting a divorce, I don't think they've ever been right. Furthermore, the Catholic institution is not Christian. Okay? And nor was it the first form of Christianity. Well, I love when you look up, you know, you look up the Council of Nicaea, if you will, which is the first council in the 4th century, 325 AD. You look that up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it says Catholicism, the Catholics, the first form of Christianity, right? You know who was the Pope? Who was the Pope during the Council of Nicaea in 325? Sylvester the First, not the cat. Amen, from the cartoons, but Sylvester the First. He was the first pope. But they want to say Peter's the first pope. But Catholic Church wasn't started until the 4th century, until 325, until Constantine got a bright idea in 313, because pagan Rome was failing, Christianity was growing, he says, you know what, let's turn pagan Rome into papal Rome. And then he had that first council. It's funny how history is so wrong. But, you know, they say, oh, this is the first official council they met to... They met to argue Arianism, which taught that Jesus Christ was created, not begotten. And that was what was established out of that council, that Jesus Christ was begotten. Man, we already knew that. Amen. We knew that from what John wrote in the latter part of the first century when he says that Jesus Christ, John 3:16, for God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. We didn't have council over that. And furthermore, that wasn't the first council that the Christianity ever had. What about Acts chapter 15, amen, when they met, James and Barnabas and Paul and all of them, they met to establish Gentiles being saved just like we were, to make it clear, as Paul would have preached unto them. But Church of England guys still perform infant baptism, committing high treason against grace. They still hold to the man-made Apostles' Creed. I've seen Baptist churches have the Apostles' Creed in there. If it was in here, I'd have taken it down. If it was concrete in the walls, I'd have painted it over. I don't need Apostles' Creed. I got a book. I got a 66 caliber. I got a 66 Bible. Amen. They still hold to the Council of Nicaea. They still hold to that. And people follow it hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because of tradition. The Bible speaks about the rudiments, the traditions of this world, the rudiments of men, if you will, the rudiments of the world and the traditions of man. But people follow it, and it's no more than a byproduct of what Rome had achieved for centuries prior. Understand what I'm saying here today. We see today perversion being taught in the utmost ridiculous manner. But guys, this is not new. You understand? This has been going on for centuries. It's been going on for millennia. What in the world do you think Israel was doing when Jeremiah is preaching the daylights off of them, stomping all over on their toes? They're doing the same thing that's happening today. We're just seeing byproducts in our generation. And so the question is, just like Jeremiah says, what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do about it? Amen? We have a Bible. We have the truth. So why in the world should our society fall into such terrible conditions spiritually, which have a direct effect on our families, on our businesses, on our national finances? God judges a nation according to finances. The stability of a nation, you understand? Why in the world? Since we have the truth, it's going to be judged, and it's going to be based on our response to sin. Okay? I don't believe that we should be reactionary. I think we should be stable. We should have stability. Just because the sinners push hard this way doesn't mean we need to run that direction to push. I'm going to stand right where I am. I'm going to stand on truth, where truth is. And I'm almost closing the sermon without getting my first point. But I'm going to stand on truth. No matter what goes on around me, I need to stand unmovable. Amen? I serve a God that changes not. I serve a God that will neither forsake me. He'll never leave me. He's going to be right where He is. It's no different than what Jeremiah's preaching, guys, for years to the house of Jacob and to Judah. So, first, what do we see? This type of response to sin, what they are doing, number one, produces a people who are foolish. Produces a people that are foolish. Look there in verse 21. He says, "Hear now this, O foolish people." Now, the Bible says that they're without understanding, but I already covered that. They're not being ignorant, they're being obstinate. Why do we know it? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Guys, can I say this to you tonight? If you were arguing the Word of God with a lost man or a woman, you might as well kick a dead horse, because the horse is not going to go any further than he already is. They cannot understand the Holy Scriptures, guys. You understand that? They can understand it. Why do you think there's so much confusion? Why do you think women are lining up getting masters of divinity and turning themselves into, I mean, guys, and all this nonsense? If you've got to put a drug in your body to be something else than what you were, you know, that ought to tell you enough right there. You're not what that you think you are. It's a mental disorder. My soul. I mean, do you guys listen? If I thought I was a car, if I ran around and I made zoom, zoom, zoom noises all the time, what do you think would happen? What do you think the police would do if I pulled up to the petrol station, took that thing out, shoved it in my ear, and tried to pump it in my head? They'd lock me up. And I say, "No, hang on a second. I'm identifying as a car today. You can't touch me. It's my right." They would put me in a padded room in a straitjacket, and rightly so. And yet they're going to teach a three-year-old that he can be a she and she can be a he? You lost your ever-loving mind. That's demonic, my friend. That is absolute demonic. And the more you give into it, the more companies give into it, the more you give your money to people who give into it, the more it's going to happen. Amen? You either take a stand now or you're going to sit down later on. Amen? To produce the foolish people. I mean, guys, do you believe that we're in a time today, that we're in a world today, and I'm talking about those who name the name of Christ who are without understanding. I'm going to say that we are. Willfully. They refuse to hear it. Beloved, there are people today who do know Jesus Christ, or at least they claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, yet they're without understanding in the ways to live for Christ. Okay? Mainly because of what they're hearing from the pulpits today. Or not hearing. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The latter days, guys, are characterized by that theology. Christians, man, I ain't going to repeat what Pastor Ellis used to say, but I'm going to tell you, there's too many Christians today that are sitting around sucking on a baby bottle, needing milk, when they should, by now, they should be eating steak, amen? They should be eating Filet Mignon. They should be eating T-bones. They should be eating a porterhouse, a tomahawk for Christ. They should be eating some meat, amen, spiritual meat. But they're sucking on a baby bottle because they're nothing more than a babe, because that's all they've been feeling. They say they're saved. They have no idea how to live. Amen? Again, point in case, empty pews. I'm not big on excuses either. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. I'm not big on excuses. I can't make it because of this. I can't make it because of that. I can't read my Bible. I can't pray. Let me tell you something. Yeah, you can. Amen? This is the kind of theology that our world is plagued with today. Romans chapter 1, verses 31 and 32 says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Can you imagine knowing the judgment of God and yet having no care in the world about it? I mean, my soul, man, I don't get that for the life of me. I don't understand that with all of my heart. I do not understand how people can say, I know Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven, or I think I'm going to heaven, and then live a life of debauchery. I understand we're sinners, guys. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. I understand we make mistakes, and God gives us opportunity to repent, and He forgives us. Praise the Lord for that. I understand that, okay? But in the latter days, this is the type of theology that we're characterized with. Pedophiles overrunning the church. Perverts overrunning the church. Paganism overrunning the church. There's your three P's for the night. That's what you find in the house of worship today. For crying out loud, you look at all the revivals that broke out in Israel. The first thing they did was cleanse the temple. What did they cleanse the temple of? Perverts and paganism. That was the first thing that they got rid of. They got the grove out of the temple where they worship and bow to the grove. They had the sodomites running loose in there. You got all of these things that were going on. All of it was perversion, sexual immorality that was going on inside the temple because of perversion and paganism. That's the world we live in today. They knew the judgment of God. Jeremiah is laying it on them thick right here. They knew it. You know what? They said, I don't care. I'm benefiting from it. I'm being made fat. I'm shining. I'm being made rich. Can you imagine searing your heart, your conscience to be in that type of way? How do you get there? I got 5 points. I'm going to cover one more, and I'm done tonight because I'm looking at the time. Here's the problem. Foolish people. Listen carefully. Foolish people are also fearless. They're fearless. Now, before you run off and say, hang on a second, the Bible says that God has not given you the spirit of fear. I understand that. But a power and of love and a sound mind. I understand that. And he hasn't. This is a different type of fearlessness. Verse 22 back in our text tells us this. Verse 22, it says, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence, which I have placed the sand for the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree? But it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail, though they roar. yet can they not pass over it? He goes on down there and says it again about the fear. Let us now fear the Lord, our God. Neither have you said that in your heart, he says in verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's another characteristic. That's another earmark of our society. There's no fear today. There's no fear of repercussions. I mean, current statistics in our own country right now, and all throughout the whole UK, that only 6% of the crime committed is ever even charged. 6%. Man, that's better odds than winning the lottery. You understand? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 tells me that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Not the end, not the middle, the beginning. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Guys, mankind, you know what? Mankind is born with two innate fears. Do you know what they are? Loud sounds and the fear of falling. And get a hold of that. That'll help you out right there. You get a hold of that tonight. If you get a hold of that one thing that God put that particular fear inside of our heart, those two innate fears, loud sounds and the fear of falling. If you get that in your heart this evening, that's going to help you out down the way. Matter of fact, Psalm 17:5 tells us, hold up my goings in thy past, that my footsteps slip not. So even among those who name the name of Christ, they are not fearing God today like they should. And why? What happens when they don't fear God? They never change their life. They never have a life-altering change in their life. Oh, they say they feel good and they sing and then they go to church on Sunday and they hoop and they holler and they walk the pews and walk the aisles and they act a fool and all that. And then they go back out and it's the same thing. It's like having Heath cake. It's like having Niecy's dessert for a meal. What, it tastes really good going down and it sticks with you for about 15 minutes. But once it's gone, it's gone. That's the same thing that you're living in today. Psalm 55, verse 19 says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old Selah. But then he says, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Foolish people become fearless in their living. The world that we're living in today, people have no fear whatsoever of God. They have no fear of stepping out. They have no fear. You know, guys, I said this for years on end. That one day I just wanted to put chains around the gates, lock them up, lock the doors up, and sit in the window and just watch what happens when people come by. I've told people time and time again, if you got not a, you're going to lose what you don't use, hands down. But it's the same principle in our life living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that you do for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a week. It has to be a life that's lived. And there should be an innate fear in you. Not losing your salvation. I'm not talking about living a life of insecurity. But there should be a fear in us today in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. A fear of slipping. That innate fear of falling. A fear of a loud sound happening. You know, like a thunder roll and a voice that says, get up here. Come on. You say, why is that a fear? I thought you were looking forward to the Lord coming back. I am looking forward to the Lord coming back. My only fear is those who won't be going with us. So, beloved, we're living in a time. We're living in a day. We're living in an age today where there is no fear of God before their eyes. We're living in a world of obstinance. And we have a choice this evening to make. Now, again, I'm going to finish this off next Wednesday, Lord willing. Three more points. We'll be done. Next week. But the question to you that I'm going to give you this evening, and this is what I'll close with next week, is what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do with what you've heard this evening? What are you going to do when you leave these doors? Are you just going to go back to life the way it is? Are you going to go back and hope things get better? Are you going to go back and just, hey, you know what? I hope things work out. Or are you going to get there and do something about it? I just believe in putting legs behind our prayers. Or under our prayers. I believe in putting action behind our words. I believe we ought to be something and not just say something. My friend, that's where the question lies tonight. And that's what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah gives them an absolute tongue lashing, if you will. He gives them an absolute slacking. And a lot of his sermons were just like that. But then he puts it in their plate. What are you going to do at the end thereof? What's it going to do when it all comes down? Beloved, I think that needs to sink into us tonight because we're living in a world today where truth, the Bible says truth is falling in the streets. They're perverting it and perverting it more every single day. We have a foolish people that we live around. And foolish people become fearless, say and do things that they should never do. Let us not fall into that category this evening. Let us take a stand upon truth. Let us stand upon truth and be not moved through reactionary moves or fearful moves, if you will, what the world would do or say, but rather through a fear of God. We bow your heads this evening. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here tonight. I pray, dear God, that this message has done something for someone in the world today, dear God. And it is easy to pick on sins and pull one out and highlight it and preach on it. But dear God, Lord, the problem is not the sinners in this world today. They're doing exactly what a sinner does as a dog barks. Lord, a sinner is sinning. My prayer is for us this evening, those who name the name of Christ, that we would refuse obstinance in our life, that we would forsake, dear God, the stale moments, that we would walk away from those days and times and opportunities that we are fallen by the wayside, if you will, and fallen by the standards that you've given us in the precious Word of God. Let us take a stand this evening on who and what you are. Let us be a witness to the lost and dying world. Let us stand certainly and surely upon this preserved, precious Word of God tonight, that you may give us guidance, direction, and mercy in these days. Lord, we pray for those souls that we're dealing with, praying for those, Lord, that need salvation, and ask of you tonight, open up doors into their hearts, Lord, that they may come to know you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I hope and pray that the preaching and teaching of the Word of God was a blessing to your heart and your mind tonight. I know thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this is the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving His life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that He gave His life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God Himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept His free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you
will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.